The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. It is a noble thought, a very lofty idea, with which this reading from Isaiah begins. And it is such a good hope, too, this idea that the reason that we would seek after the Lord was that we could pursue righteousness. It is a hope for a people who could find themselves in a place where the only thing they needed to focus their time and energy on was the study and pursuit of righteousness. But if we are being honest, when the times come when we are truly seeking after the Lord, very often our goals have little to do with seeking to be made right before God and his eternal judgment. Long before we get to that question, we have begun to seek the Lord. Many times it is in the cares and concerns of our day-to-day life that we are moved to seek after the Lord. We need to know that even when it is in those small, short prayers, the "Dear Lord, please, please help me" kinds of prayers, he is still listening to us. Isaiah knew that all too often life would get in the way and we would face obstacles and trials and hardships. And he knew that it would be at those times, more often than not, that we would be brought to a place where the Lord was the only one we could look to for help. What Isaiah knew was that prayer could come at any time, and he calls us to remember. For while the God to whom we pray is the one who can and will deliver our eternal salvation in this day, He is also the God who has a long and storied history of delivering his people in times of trouble when they have faced many, many earthly concerns and fears. In the moments where fear and worry and sorrow are bearing down on us like a storm, Isaiah wants us to hear again and recall the history of God's salvation, of God's repeated actions of saving his people. And so he points us to the rock from which we are hewn. We are meant to be reminded of God, our Creator's promise. We are meant to be reminded of how he has delivered the people whom he has shaped. Isaiah tells us to look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. It is the covenant with Abraham, the promise that God will deliver his people, to which we are grafted in baptism. In those times when we need to seek after the Lord, we are meant to remember that he is the one who chose a couple in their 90s as the ancestors for all his people, because he is the God who can work miracles so that his people may have life. When God promised that Sarah would bear a child, she thought the promise of God was so ridiculous, she laughed. And yet it was through that child that God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the heavens and as numerous as the grains of sand on the shore. We are meant to know these things. So Isaiah begins by pointing us to Abraham and Sarah, to the one God who is at work, even as it goes against everything we think is possible. These words from Isaiah were meant to be heard by a people who had lost everything when they had been exiled out of Israel and into Babylon. When we hear that the Lord will comfort Zion, we are meant to hear that in those times of profound struggle and loss, God is still with his people. And here, God is making a promise that we need to hear even today. God is making a promise that those hardest of times are not the end. God makes a promise that even though there is pain being experienced, he will bring comfort. He is making a promise that in the face of destruction, God will bring new life. It is a promise that in that new life, which is found only in God, there will be singing and joy, because our lives are defined not by earthly things, but by the one who is truly giving us life. God is speaking through Isaiah so that all of his people can hear what he has to say. Because when we are in those moments of struggle, when we are seeking after the Lord just so that He can help us keep our head above water, that is when we need to hear that His deliverance will be swift and the salvation that comes from Him is meant for us. That is His promise. His promise is that when even the heavens and the earth are vanishing all around us, His deliverance and salvation are eternal. And we need to hear and know that God's promise of eternal salvation and deliverance is for each of us. So that when everything else around us is failing, when all we can do is pray, "Dear God, please help me," our God is the one who can deliver us because we are His people, and He is the God who has a long history of saving His people. And we are far from the end of that great story. Amen.